You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to DM to GM. This is the podcast where we answer your questions and help you feel more comfortable playing games around your table. I'm your DM from Dungeons & Dragons, Russ Moore.
And I'm your GM from The End of Time and Other Bothers, Sean Howard.
And today we're back answering questions about voices, Sean. Neither you and I do a lot of voices. Actually, wait. I have something to rectify for the Discord. I told them that because this episode is a little bit late, that you would do this entire episode as Sneagol.
That was Sneagol sleeping.
Good. I felt like I was there.
So Amy J asked a great question. How do you teach yourself to do all the NPC voices? And more importantly, have what amounts to conversations with yourself without going batty during the game?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I find myself in the middle of a conversation that I'm having with myself, with everybody just laughing at me from the side, being like, you know, who knows more information than Russ? Russ.
Yeah, I think that's, I guess we'll deal with that part. We're going to deal with the second half first. I think one of the hardest things about having a conversation with yourself is when you're interrogating yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like somehow you've ended up where your NPC is the one interrogating your NPC.
Yes. Give me all the answers.
How do you do that in a way that's not just telling everyone, give me the answers. Okay, go to the third shelf. And you know what I mean? Like, how do you do it in a way that's still fun, like a game?
Yeah.
And one of the ways to do it is incompetence.
Sure.
Have one of the characters be less than competent and have fun with it. Maybe they're really bad at interrogating until the party wants to take over. It can be hard. It can be hard to have a long scene between yourself and yourself, or I once did myself, myself, and myself.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we've been there with the round table of the NPCs now, and everybody's just watching the game happen from the outside. You say incompetence, and I mean, there's a few ways you could tie that back to game mechanics too. If you don't feel comfortable just being like, hey friends, maybe step in, you can have your NPC who's doing the interrogating or convincing make a persuasion roll and then fail it because they don't know the DC. And then you're like, well, clearly they're not going to get it. Maybe you should step in and help out with this conversation.
Yep. You can also have your character have to leave, get called away. Maybe they run up to punch the person you're interrogating. They're a big bad that you're interrogating, and you're playing the NPC that runs up to the big bad that you're also playing. When they go to hit this big bad, they just disappear in a puff of smoke, and the big bad just smiles. And now we're down to one.
Yeah, there's lots of ways that you can get rid of a character. I'm curious if the question, though, now that we know how to get rid of a character, is wanting to do that? Because there's a second part to the question, which...
You mean the main part that was actually asked?
Well, there was a follow-up part here, because Amy J says they get so confused sometimes, but just love it when their GM can keep all the NPC voices straight. So there's an aspect that it sounds like Amy J wants to be able to have these conversations. So maybe ways to... prep the voices, and you don't have to script those things necessarily, but just keep some of the information held back if that's what you, if you want to get everybody else involved as well.
Yeah, it's hard. I would say to Amy J, start small, mm-hmm. and make sure you have an NPC that you really get. You get their idiosyncrasies, you get their incompetence. You have a lot of fun playing them, and hopefully they have a distinctive voice. And, you know, like, it's Snaggle for me or Flamekins for Russ.
Yeah.
And then they become easy, because it's not just about the voice. When I become Snaggle, I become very stupid and very infatuated with a friend song. When Russ becomes Flamekins, they also become a little bit stupid and very infatuated with other things.
Yeah.
Shiny things, etc. So having a character that you really get makes it's less load,
yes.
if that makes any sense. So now I can, if I'm gonna have a conversation between Snaggle and someone else, then that's not hard, because I know Snaggle. It's not just Snaggle's voice. How, when you see a GM keep NPCs distinct, they're able to paint a picture where you know when they're changing between characters. And that's not just voice. That's attitude, what they want in the world.
Yeah, the motivations.
Where, how they're incompetent, motivations. And that just means you have to just play them for a while and have fun with them. So I would say start small, build one character really strong that's with the party, and then it's not as hard. But as far as like remembering voices, our Discord already answered this. Mm-hmm. I want to call out, the Discord answered this amazingly. Probably better than we are. They posted videos for different YouTubes on how to create 100 voices. They talked about using an app on your phone to play back and remember. I have done that. I have an app on my phone that I always forget to play. And
yeah.
The voices change constantly.
Yes. I'm terrible at not remembering voices. Like, I'll write down a quality about the voice, mm-hmm. in mid-session, yeah. and then forget to go back and record it. So that's why some characters just evolve over time, and that's okay too, if as you're trying to figure out a character, because the voice you start with might not be the voice 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 sessions later that you land on for that NPC when they come back, because of how,
yeah.
difficult it is to do, or, you know, what you like about, or just as you figure out those motivations for the character, that can change how they sound too.
I had to kill off a character because I couldn't do the Southern accent. Like, I think they appear for like 3 lines in an early episode,
yeah.
and then they're never heard of again because the table kept laughing every time I tried to get it back.
Yep.
And I would say also, like, what matters is your table having fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting confused between characters, and you can laugh about it, and your table can laugh about it, then that's what it's all about, right? It could just be fun.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
But yeah, if it gets to a point where you're confused and the table's confused and there's a frustration level rising in you, then maybe pull the ripcord on the scene and say, well, this player puffs in, you know, disappears in a puff of smoke or has to go get a water because this is taking too long, and move on from that scene. Nobody says you have to do all 100 distinctly different voices in the same scene. If you can do them, that's fantastic. But there's no pressure to do what others do. Find what works for you and bring that to the table, because that's going to be where you're having fun and where your table's having fun too.
And don't be afraid to just go with your gut. You don't have to have a reason. You don't have to know why this mechanic allowed someone to disappear. Like I said, you could just let you suddenly realize you're in an interrogation scene and you're interrogating yourself. You could just have one of them disappear and the bad guy smile.
Yep.
You've just given the bad guy a new power that you can investigate later, and the party's going to be a little freaked out.
Yep.
Awesome. I've done things where I realize I'm having a conversation with myself, and then it's like you don't have a lot of time to think while that's happening because you're asking yourself, you're talking, oh, how's it going? Oh, great. And then I'll stop and go, and 20 minutes later, and then I'll just like, yeah. And so my sister was going down to, you can have fun with it.
Yeah.
You can be like, and the party will laugh. But I want to talk about another thing. When we've talked about this before, you as the GM do not have to create all the NPCs.
No.
And the more you get your table used to the fact that they can jump in and take over an NPC, and because they're now that NPC, I love that part of where End of Time, where our table will just introduce characters that I hate and I'm trying to kill, but our fans adore, like Centurion, Centurion, Centurion. You don't have to take all the NPCs. And that can be challenging when you're starting, because you're like, oh, but I have the story and they're a part in it. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can work around that.
Yeah, just a quick workaround from that. Not all NPCs have all the information, or any information that they introduce could be world building for you as well. So it's opening them up to have a little more say in the bigger picture. Of course, if they're like, well, the bad guy's just behind door number two, go get him. That you say, well, oh, he puffed into a big thing of smoke and now he's not there anymore. Like, you can write that out pretty quick or just avoid it. Like, if you trust your table, though, and tell them that that's what you want. Like, my table, I didn't do that very early on, and then started listening to other bothers and be like, oh, he's deflecting a lot of characters onto his players. I love this. What I'll do now is I'll say, well, there's two or three people standing there, guards otherwise, and then start talking as one of them, and then ask the other one a question and just wait. Just hold it there. See who jumps in.
I do it all the time. There's these awkward pauses that we often edit out, because sometimes it'll go a long time where everyone's just like, and then someone will do a funny voice and become the other guard. And what's, and I've heard it in your show too, what's really fun about those interactions is your players are now playing a character that has no information.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally just like, I'm a guard and I'm a stupid guard. They just make up a guard. Or maybe they're a guard that has ego. Like, yeah, we got to take these guys down. And then, as a GM, you can play on that and be like, but are we allowed to do that? Isn't the king's orders? Like, you could just, we just have fun. And you can introduce lore.
Slowly fill them in.
Even when interacting. Yeah, with a character that is just being made up by a player.
Yeah.
But the pause is important.
Yes.
Just pause and wait.
Yeah. See, there's a lot can be said at your table in silence of what you want your players to pick up on, specifically characters.
And then you don't have to make all the voices. And you can bring those. What's interesting, if you think about playing at a table, you know, we get very involved in our characters and get excited. But if you've ever guessed it or shown up for someone else's game and just played a one-off, sometimes it can be really fun. And it's the same thing. When you jump in as a player and get to play an NPC, my players often want to bring those NPCs back and other, you know, they want to bring them back because they just love them.
Yeah.
And I just want to call out, we'll post some links that the Discord had posted, but I want to call out the Discord is amazing. And thank you to everyone in there. You all gave, like, the videos are awesome. The recommendations are amazing.
Admittedly, Sean and I haven't been in the Discord a lot lately, just through busyness of life. But there's been so many new people joining, listening to the show, and then coming and joining the Discord, and the back and forth that are happening on these questions, and a whole lot more questions about people's game specifics and what systems they should run are just spectacular. So thank you. Thank you all. Come join us in the Discord. Link's down in the description. Send us your questions. If you're not in the Discord, you can do it via email, social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter.
What's the email, Russ?
DM to... oh, yeah. It's all down in the bottom. DM to...
yeah, go look.
DM to... yeah, you do the work. No, I'm kidding. DM to gmcast@gmail.com. It's been a while since we've done this. Oh, man. All right. Sneagle, take us out.
Okay. Remember, go and... just start your game. Start your table. Email us at some unknown address and get started.
Yeah, and then just send a message in a bottle and we'll find it.
Oh, wow. You sound like my sister, Flamekins. Mm.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
This is routine update log number 6 for Dr. Edison Tucker concerning my research into the town of Jerusalem, Oregon, and the existence of the supernatural, paranormal, mythological, etc., etc., blah, blah, blah. Anyway, since arriving, I've definitely encountered some stuff that could be classified under weird ass. I mean, where else does putting lamb's blood on people's doorways actually work as pest control? And nobody in town will talk to me about the picnic area near Lincoln's farm. Although, could be because everybody thinks I'm one of those monster hunting idiots. Which I'm not, okay? I am an experienced professional who takes my work extremely seriously, and I am going to prove this if it's the last thing I ever...
Oh, Dr. Tucker, what have I told you about keeping samples in the fridge?
Although, to be honest, I think the biggest mystery on my hands is how I'm going to survive living with Lucille Kensington, stuck-up extraordinaire. So, if you guys don't hear from me again, it wasn't something in the woods that got me. Probably. Where the Stars Fell. Available now wherever podcasts are found.